If you bark, meow, quack, whinny, or have someone in the house that does, this is the talk show for you. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Holly, we have with us as a guest in the studio for this segment, Jenny Kurz, who is the owner of Crystal Falls Horse and Carriage Company in Lansing. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. Thank you for having me here today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Jenny, I know what horse and carriage is like. Where do you operate in Lansing? What streets or whereabout do you typically do your carriage rides?
Well, I like to give unique adventures around the capital area. There's several different locations along the river that make for a good tour. It just depends on whether it's a family that's looking to go for a carriage ride, anniversary, a dinner date, engagement. I tell people it's their fairy tale. So when they call me and ask for a tour in Lansing, I kind of gauge my tour as to cater to their needs of their family. And so that's kind of how I get started with that.
Fantastic. And when it comes to choosing the horses to actually do this, how do you go about choosing the right horse to be able to do this? Because one of the things that's got to be difficult in what you do is it's an endlessly changing group of people. So you need a horse that's obviously well socialized to be able to get along with a lot of different people.
Well, it's kind of funny and unique in some ways because the average person probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But what I do is I take and rehabilitate horses that have had injuries to their hoofs or people couldn't afford to give them the proper care. And basically, I spend a lot of time underneath their feet, so I get to know them. I've been a horseshoer for 15 years, and one thing that I learned is if a horse can twitch with a fly on its side, they're awfully sensitive. And so by spending so much time underneath their feet and working on them, I develop a relationship with them. And then I take it to the cities when I get to a point where I feel that they can stand. People say to me all the time, can anybody drive a horse? And in some respects, yes. But in some respects, no. Because one of the hardest things to get a horse to do is stand still. Yeah. They were never bred to stand still.
Yeah, no, I would imagine that that's exactly the case. And yet, you have to figure as people are getting on and off, they better. And that's a place where injuries can obviously happen. So, got to be an issue.
Now, you mentioned horses standing still, and you and I got a chance to talk a little bit before the show about their tails. Mm-hmm. And you said that typically this the breed of horse that you deal with, which are the Percherons, they have a bobbed tail. But you do not bob their tail because there are flies and pests around, and they are natural predators for the horses, and they like to swing their tails around. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how your guests react to seeing a Percheron with a full, beautiful tail?
You know, it's amazing. Usually the first thing when they walk up to the carriage is they notice a beautiful white horse, and they will comment on the hair. Some of my horses will have a mane that hangs, a foot below their neck. And sometimes it's the wind has braided it itself. It's all natural. And, one of the greatest and grandest things that whoever the designer made was the tail, because the tail and the ears both on a horse will tell you exactly what they're looking at, what they might do, how they're going to react to a situation.
Okay.
You know, if a car comes creeping up upon me quite fast, they have blinders on, so they cannot see from behind them when they have the blinders behind their eyes. Right. And the first thing I look for is their ears to turn and their tail to see what their tail's going to do, because a horse can only follow its head.
Right.
Wherever the head goes, the rest of the body follows.
Yeah, so. Absolutely true. And when it comes to choosing these horses, what kind of training do you have to put them through in terms of getting them to do these functions? Because, candidly, I got to think that I've seen some of these horses on Mackinac Island on some of these hills that I can't even walk up. And I just imagine, oh, my goodness, this horse with this huge carriage filled with people, how do they do it? I mean, how do you go about training these horses to do that?
You know, it's kind of an amazing thing. I spent some time in the Upper Peninsula, and while I was there, I had, homes with all wood heat. And what I would do is use my horses to haul up my firewood. And I would start to condition them that way. And that would help to start to develop muscle mass. I wouldn't do necessarily large loads like they did in the old logging days, but small loads just to get an idea of what their capabilities are and how they would react to weight being placed upon their harness. And I still do that today. I take my horses, and now that we're getting some snow, I will take some of the new horses that I have, and the first thing I'll be doing with them is having their feet trimmed, of course, and shod properly, and then I will start using them to haul firewood just to see how they react to different things.
Jenny, I have a question about that, about the snow. Do you have certain horses that do better in snow than others and certain horses that do better on, let's say, the street?
You know, that's a good question. What I noticed this past Christmas, it seems to be that my Percheron horses, she's a show-off. She likes to strut her stuff. And with the winter, I think that she's more capable of that because she's not getting hot. I think summer months are harder to gauge whether a horse is being overused or not, because, you know, just like humans, we have a hard time breathing and with the humidity.
Absolutely.
And things. And it's not necessarily best for the people sitting in the carriage because it's colder.
Right.
But some, you know, if they have the Christmas spirit. I just had a call looking for a sleigh ride, and I said, well, I have a carriage. And he said, you know what, that's just fine. It's hard to determine in Michigan when we're going to have enough snow to even use a sleigh.
But as people are leaving their houses, they kind of get a feel for the weather, and it's all about turning your clothing into gear at that point.
It is all about your gear, and that's what I've noticed is you have to advertise well for the Christmas season for the light tour, and I've been richly blessed this past year. I was doing rides in front of the governor's home and for the people who live in that association. And it was a really good time. They said that they're going to continue to do it and make it a tradition for me to come there.
Well, I would imagine, Jenny, that it's a unique experience for a lot of people, because other than if you travel to other places, you don't really get many opportunities for carriage rides because they just don't seem to be as prevalent anymore as they are in other parts of the country or as they've been in the past. Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it just has to do with the nature of the business. You know, horses, when time was developed, we didn't have cars. We didn't have loud noises. You know, we had the natural predator-prey instinct that we have today with horses, and they still are a prey animal. That's why they have eyes on the side of their head, and that's why we've put blinders and things on them. I was in downtown Rochester. And, you know, that city is lit up beautiful. Every square inch of the buildings is lit. But the traffic is, it's a hairy situation. And so you have to have very well-seasoned horses to do that kind of work.
I see that you have several different kinds of adventures and experiences. You've got your Look Up in Lansing. You've got your Downtown Lansing Churches, Capital District Tour of Residential Architecture, which sounds great. And then you have your pony parties. Which one do you think is the most popular?
You know, it's a toss-up. The pony parties are a good thing. The kids have a lot of fun. I mean, you can do it right at home, and it's a surprise at home. And I think that seems to be kind of where people are going now.
You take you go to the houses, to the parties with the ponies. That's fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, and they can actually have their cake and everything, and they can go inside and use the restroom, you know, when you come to...
That's very important.
But, you know, don't get me wrong. Downtown at Claire's is a great place to come in and have a birthday party for the kids. Claire's is a wonderful restaurant. It's got a lot of rich history. It's a neat place. The trains can be a little hairy at times, so I try to schedule my pony parties around when the train's not coming through, because it could be a very dangerous parking lot with the trains.
No question about that. But when it comes to proximity to the downtown area and the Capitol, especially in the winter, it's really a beautiful sight. So I can see where that would be a wonderful time out of doors for people. Jenny, let me ask you this question. With regard to the business, I would imagine one of the things that's got to make it tough is the insurance and liability issues that go with it. How has that changed in the time you've been doing this? Is it getting tougher, and what is that like?
Yeah, the insurance has become tough. You know, as a whole, most of the insurance companies are getting stricter and stricter as to equipment, horses, even the fencing at my place, you know, the how many years experience they have. And what's happening is people decide that they think this looks like a neat idea, I'll try it, and they end up in a hairy situation and end up having a lawsuit, and it affects me. Even if I don't have any lawsuits in my own business, it still affects the insurance premiums, and they keep steadily rising, sometimes tripling.
Yeah, I've got to imagine that makes it tough, because one of the things you're trying to do is keep your services affordable. And last I heard, these horses eat like horses, so it's got to be really expensive when it comes to taking care of them.
Yes, it can be. It very well can be. And, you know, and the quality of hay is important. Of course, grains and things are important, you know, with the proper electrolytes and things, depending on how much you're using the animals. You know, when horses were in the wild, you know, they graze for miles and miles and miles, sometimes 16, 18 hours a day. And with our horses today in Michigan weather, we will house them in small paddocks and things. And unlike people, horses' teeth grow and they have to have maintenance. And part of that maintenance is expensive. In the old day, Granddad knew how to float a horse with a little rasp and a file. They'd file the sharp edges along the teeth on the horses. Horses are fermenters of their feed, so they have to chew their food down into a particular size and matter in order to utilize it. And so the roughage of hay has to have a proper consistency and things, too. And, you know, Michigan lacks selenium in the soil, so we have to supplement them sometimes with selenium and other electrolytes, just like any athlete would have to do.
Yeah, and see, that's exactly why not everyone should think, oh, I could get into the horse and carriage business, because there really is a lot that goes with maintaining the horses and keeping them in prime working condition.
Yeah, and, you know, it was amazing how I got in the business. I was a horseshoer, and I went to horseshoeing school, and at that time there was 12 cold forges and 12 anvils, and we had a coke forge that we would make all handmade shoes for 8 hours a day. And put on the horses, and I do all my own horseshoeing to try to help keep the costs and prices down. And in fact, this weekend at the pavilion, they're having the Michigan Horseshoers convention.
Interesting. And how difficult is it to learn all this? I mean, I thought, and I think you said to me in our conversation that you actually went back to vet school to become a vet tech in order to learn how to do all of this.
Yeah, I wanted to be able to monitor my horse and make sure that they were getting the best of care and be able to know when they need the electrolytes, know when they need water, and maintain them in a fashion that is acceptable to, you know, the professional community, especially people within the veterinary field.
Interesting. And when it comes to taking care of these horses in the winter, are there any obstacles that you're facing in terms of being able to keep them properly? I mean, getting them exercise, all of the other issues? I mean, I got to imagine it's a lot less fun for you during the winter, but does it affect the horses very much?
No, you know, it's amazing. Even when I was living up in Crystal Falls and we can have, you know, 20 below zero temperatures, you can have a wide open lean-to or a barn. I even had a barn that had plastic sheeting like you'd have on a shipping dock just to keep the wind from going through. And my team of horses would be standing together with their butts facing the barn. And I would think, why aren't you in that barn? But, you know, it's just like a deer. You look out in a field on a wintry, blistery day, and they'll be standing out there chewing in the grass and moving around and staying warm.
I have a question for you. Do you always have these horses hitched up to something when they're going out, or do you ever ride them? They look rather broad. Can you saddle them?
Yes, they do saddle them. And it is a unique experience because, in fact, I had an old team that was semi-retired, and, you know, they still got good exercise. I didn't take them out, you know, on a consecutive ride after ride, but for our ride on the weekend, you know, between six people, people would get on and be kicking the horse, and they couldn't get the horse to walk. And the reason being is because those horses have learned my voice, and they don't walk on until I tell them walk on.
Okay.
Fantastic. Jenny, if any of our listeners are interested in finding out more information about your company or even going for a horse and carriage ride, how would they find you?
You can find me on the web. It's at horseandcarriage.org. You also, during Old Town, Dickens Village, and Lansing, once a year we do a Christmas event where we have all the Dickens characters there. There's all kinds of fun events for the kids. There's ice sculpturing, carolers. It's just a real fun time. We have ponies and the carriage horses going up and down the streets so that people can take a short carriage ride for free and just kind of cater to the community that live downtown.
That is fantastic. We've been talking this morning with Jenny Kurz, the owner of Crystal Falls Horse and Carriage Company in Lansing. Jenny, thanks so much for coming on the show.
I'm glad you had me here today.
It was
a lot of fun.
It was our pleasure to have you. And Holly, in the next section, we're going to continue our conversation with Aaron Rice, who is the president of the Michigan Equine Partnership, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I saw werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho for